What is the favorite thing you've seen at the show today?
Or this week?
Yeah.
I know the answer to that.
Go ahead.
People. To see one of the four-engine military warbirds flew over, and we saw this guard at the gate just sitting there, just mesmerized by it. And just watching people watch airplanes, watching people talking to each other. I love looking at people and just seeing people going around and enjoying this. That's the number one thing. It's all about the people here.
Yeah, it's been some really interesting weather this week, and it's been comfortable out there walking around. That is part of the cool
deal.
Stuff.
It's not as humid as usual.
Most definitely. And I've had a good time watching the tech change, and I've been to a couple of forums. And one of the things that we saw the Pilot Proficiency Center, and I like what they're trying to teach in there. I like how they're trying to get people to really analyze and think about how things are changing in the environment, and in that wonderful safe world of the simulator, you can do things. You can take some risk and then see how it doesn't turn out well, and then back it up and then see if I take a different path. And risk management is something that you guys have really specialized in. I mean, you've done some great courses in it over the years.
Well, what you're describing is scenario-based training, and you're absolutely right that a simulator is a beautiful way to do it. You can explore the corners in a way that you couldn't otherwise, and that's what we get when we go to flight safety every year for our recurrent. You can also do it in an airplane, of course, not exploring the corners of the envelope, if you would. And that's one of the things that our work with the Cessna Pilot Centers has been all about, is a curriculum for them where from lesson number one, a strong component of every lesson for primacy of learning is talking about situational awareness, what are the potential hazards, how might we mitigate it, to build a habit. You know, we're not talking about how do I give this person judgment, how do I teach them decision making. Those are terms that we don't think are acceptable to the learning pilot. What we talk about is tools and habits. Tools just as if you were going to go get involved in rock climbing, or if you were going to go scuba diving, there are tools that they teach you and habits that they teach you to manage the very obvious risk there. And from the very first lesson, we want learning pilots to be thinking about what tools should I be using and how do I do that.
We're talking with Martha King and John King of King Schools and Jeb Burnside of Aviation Safety Magazine. I'm Amy Labota. This is Attitude Adjustment. And we're talking about risk management. And you're absolutely right, Martha. It's all about the tools and the practice and those scenarios. And somebody once asked me, and it was another flight instructor, can you teach judgment? Can you actually teach people how to have good judgment? What do you think about that, John?
Well, you know, I think it's not. You might be able to, you might not, but it's not an effective way to go about it. My concern is if I'm a 40-year-old man learning to fly with a 21-year-old flight instructor, and I've accumulated enough money that I can now afford to buy my airplane, learn to fly, and this 21-year-old kid says to me, well, today I'm going to teach you judgment. And the 40-year-old is likely to say, I don't think so, kid. I think I have judgment. It's hard to teach somebody something they think they already know. In the same way with aeronautical decision making. Most of us who are learning to fly think we already have those. And it's not going to be effective for you to set me aside and say, I'm going to teach you how to make a decision. Well, kid, I think I know how to make a decision.
Right.
So I think you might be able to make a difference. But what you can do is give a person habits and tools that get the result we're looking for. And the result we're looking for is to be able to be situationally aware, to know what risks are coming up, what's going to happen that if you don't do something about it. And so identify the risks and mitigate the risks. And we don't care whether we call it judgment or aeronautical decision making, but I think we'll get a better result if we call it identification mitigation of risk. So I think the answer is what we really want is a result. And we want a habit, a pilot who has developed the habit of being situationally aware and managing the risk.
If there's a line of thunderstorms moving through where you're flying, what are your choices? What do you do about that? And mitigating that risk of flying into that thunderstorm, or even mitigating the risk of parking your airplane in the path of that thunderstorm, you have choices. You're not without not without agency in these instances.
Right.
What do you do? Well, there's four or five things you can do here. Which ones you employ may depend on your fuel state. It may depend on your geography. It may depend on how fast an airplane you're flying.
But a lot of that you can change. You can change your fuel state by landing and getting more.
Exactly.
You can change your geography by changing your route of flight. And particularly if you are proactively situationally aware before you ever get into the airplane for that flight, you can, you know, you can go earlier, you can go later, you can
go tomorrow, or
go yesterday. You know, if the weather's going to be really lousy on Tuesday, why are you traveling on Tuesday? Why aren't you traveling on Monday or Wednesday? Or change your route. If the weather's not exactly where you need to be, figure out a way to go around it. All of these are things you can do if you're not fat, dumb, and happy, as we like to call it.
And going around weather. Guy, you have an airplane.
It's mobile.
It's mobile. You use it. Mm-hmm. Use it for how it's intended.
It's counterintuitive, but I think the aviation community should quit talking about safety. And the reason I think we should quit talking about safety is two reasons. Number one, when we talk about safety, very often we don't really mean it. The Secretary of Transportation one time said there will be no compromise with safety. Well, you can't start an engine without compromising safety.
Exactly.
Or safety is our number one priority. Well, if safety is our number one priority, we won't go. So there are two reasons I don't like talking about safety. Number one is that when we say it, we very often don't mean it. It's our number one priority. There will be no compromise with safety. And then the second reason, it gives you no guidance. So if you start talking about safety, be safe out there. Well, what do I do? Not go? How do I be safe out there? But if instead I use habits that help you identify and mitigate risks, then there's guidance. I know what I'm supposed to do. So I think we should quit talking about safety and start talking about risk management.
And of course, thunderstorms are not the only risks pilots face.
Oh, goodness gracious, no. You know, my favorite risk management tool is my checklist.
Yeah, of course.
And why? Because it keeps me on the straight and narrow. It reminds me where I'm supposed to be at any one point. So it's a situational awareness tool.
And we suggest adding some checklists. When you're thinking about risk, kind of it helps if you think about categories of risk. What are the risks associated with the pilot, the aircraft, the environment, and external pressures? It becomes PAVE. Okay? And if you think about PAVE,
it just becomes another checklist like the one for the pre-flighting the airplane for different phases in the airplane. And this is why we talk about habits. If you establish habits of thinking about this the same way that when you're actually in the airplane, you use the checklist and think about it, you've got the tools now embedded in your psyche, if you will, that will produce a good outcome.
Exactly right. Well, just drawing a real quick page here. I drove up to the show this year.
Okay.
And I did so for a variety of reasons, not least of which I had some errands to run on the way home that are impractical to do with an airplane. But I started looking at weather, and you know, I'm just tired of flying through summer weather right now. So I just didn't want to. Right away, I've got some fatigue quotient built in. I just don't want to deal with this, and I'm not in the right frame of mind. So there's one strike, if you will.
Right. That's in the pilot category.
Exactly. As we've seen through the week, the weather here this week was a little bit iffy on occasion. So I didn't really want to have the airplane parked in the path of that.
Mm-hmm.
The get back might have been a little trickier than I would have liked also.
Mm-hmm.
So my airplane's fine. I know exactly where it is. It's in its hangar. I drove up. I'm happy about that.
Mm-hmm.
That's another way to manage risk.
Well, you're among the other things you're managing is you're managing the pressures,
exactly.
which can be both internally and externally generated. In your case, I got the idea, externally generated by a something that requires your presence back when AirVenture's over, and internally just by I want to show that flying into AirVenture is so cool, and to not do it is kind of in some ways a letdown if you don't think about it right. And so there's that internal personal pressure to say, well, I can do it again this year. I've done it before,
and I'll do it again next year or the year after that or the year after that. I don't have anything to prove to anybody about that.
Right.
Yeah, and that's what you're hoping people are doing, that they're really taking the time to balance that out and think that through and run the PAVE and run the I'm safe and all these checklists that we've come upon over time that we know help us make good decisions about whether today's the day to go fly. And the other one that I like to talk about is sometimes it's the equipment, choosing the right piece of equipment for the job.
That's
so
correct.
That's really important. So, you know, on that note, I want to thank both you, John King, and Martha King, and also Jeb Burnside for having been here today on Attitude Adjustment and taking your time, and you really did take some time. I told you were going to be in here for about 15, and you're actually here for about 30 minutes, so I deeply appreciate that. Where can people find King Schools on the grounds at EAA AirVenture 2017?
We have about four occasions that we're speaking. We do not have a booth this year because our courses are now almost all online, and there's no package for them to walk home from. So we have a sale going on at kingschools.com.
That would be the place to find us, kingschools.com.
Ah, wonderful. Well, I can't thank you enough for taking the time to come over and speak with us.
Well, thank you very much. It's a real delight to be here.
You guys are fun.